And welcome to Tuesday on the Pure Opelka podcast. Mike here, waking up this morning before dawn to get ready to do the podcast and send out the prep. And I was stunned by what happened in Baltimore overnight. And our prayers go out to the good people of Baltimore. And also, I caution everybody from making early judgments on this. Let's wait till we get all the information on this. But Baltimore, which is an important port in America, the port of Baltimore is going to have some serious issues. And the city of Baltimore, the region, is going to have some serious traffic issues as that bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is now pretty much gone, that was the bridge that transported all the toxic chemicals around the city of Baltimore. So how is that going to change? What's going to happen? Where are you going to send the trucks? I don't know. I also am paying attention to what the news media is saying in their reporting. No one has said Joe Biden has been briefed. They just said the White House has responded. And a statement from the White House. Nobody has had a statement from Joe Biden. We had a statement from Transportation Secretary Mayor Pete, but this happened at 1:28 in the morning on the East Coast. And I don't know if Joe Biden has been made aware of it. I'm recording this before 8 a.m. There's still a search and rescue operation going on. 20 people missing. Now, somebody asked me this morning, do you think this is terrorism? And I initially doubted it because of the time it happened. Terrorists usually want to have the most, it's kind of a grisly thought, right? The highest number of bodies is what they're looking for, big body count. And to do this overnight, you're not going to have that many cars or trucks on the bridge. If they really wanted this to be a terror attack and they were looking to kill a bunch of people, they would have done it in the middle of the day when traffic was high. This is a bridge that gets 12 million cars a year over it or something like that. It's a lot of cars going over this bridge. But I don't think it's terrorism, but I also wonder why that ship was not being guided by pilot ships. Or was there a harbor person, a pilot on the ship? They usually do that if the ship is flagged to another country. Have somebody with local knowledge on the bridge. We'll see what happens. We'll stay posted on that. But there are certainly many other things for us to talk about today, even halfway around the world, where Israel, one of our best friends in the entire world, seems like they're about to break up with us. And it's because of the Biden administration abstained from a vote in the UN Security Council yesterday, and they allowed this ceasefire resolution to go through. So Benjamin Netanyahu has said, we're not coming to America. There was a delegation headed to America this week that was going to speak to the Congress, at least to the House. Chuck Schumer is probably going to block it from happening in the Senate, but that's not happening now. And it's all because the Israelis are getting ready to finally, from what I think, wipe out Hamas. It appears the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has the last 3,000 Hamas fighters kind of trapped in Rafah and getting ready to march into Rafah and take them out in the final battle. Netanyahu wants to finish the job. Biden's telling him, no, don't go into Rafah. Donald Trump's actually telling Israel to get it done quickly. He's not telling him to stop. He's saying just pick up the pace because they're losing the support of the world. And that could be a big stinking deal, to lose the support of the world. Well, but one thing is interesting. Former President George W. Bush has weighed in on this. And I agree with George W. Bush. Check this out. This is amazing.
It's a democracy. And in a democracy, the people's voices matter. And there's going to be a weariness. You watch. The world's going to be, okay, let's negotiate. You know, Israel's got to negotiate. They're not
kind of where this is going, right? He's got that right. The world's going to get weary of this. And he says Israel's being told you got to negotiate. Well, he nails it here.
They're not going to negotiate. These people have played their cards. They want to kill as many Israelis as they can. And negotiating with killers is not an option.
Never an option to negotiate with killers. George W. Bush is right. Former President Bush is right on this. Hamas has played their cards. They want to kill as many Israelis as possible, and Israel needs to wipe them out. I'll let him finish.
The elected government of Israel. And so we're just going to have to remain steadfast, but it's not going to take long. That's gone on too long. Surely there's a way to settle this through negotiations. Both sides are guilty. My view is one side is guilty, and it's not Israel.
My view is one side is guilty, and it's not Israel. He is spot on. Well said, sir. We'll see what happens. Of course, the left is screaming, and the squad is screaming, and we'll see what happens. Now, there was good news yesterday. Donald Trump scored a win on reducing his bond in the appeal to the New York fraud case, and that's a good thing. But as we could almost predict, the mainstream media was absolutely furious about that happening. They couldn't handle it.
Here we go again. He continues to defy gravity and catches another lucky break.
He has a private plane. He has private clubs. Now he's getting his own private system of justice. This is an absolute travesty. It would not happen for anybody else.
The playbook is different for former President Trump. He's given more time to pay less money.
Yeah, it just bothers him that Donald Trump gets fair treatment. It bothers all of the people on the left side of the mainstream media. We should have had some sort of watch out for all those people like Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow and who's the racist over at MSNBC, Joy Reid. Yeah, we should have been keeping our eye on them. I hope they're okay. They're very mad at Donald Trump for getting fair treatment. Donald Trump's trial, the Stormy Daniels trial, also got a court date, start date April 15th. We'll see how that goes. I think that's when they start doing jury selection. We shall see. We shall see. The other big story that's happening today is that Robert Kennedy is going to announce his running mate. And we believe we know who it is. We believe it's Shanahan. That's her name. Yes, Shanahan, Nicole Shanahan, a former big wig at Google, also former wife of one of the Google founders, very wealthy lady who's been a donor to his campaign. And she's got ties to the Oakland area. And that means maybe that's why the announcement's happening in Oakland. Here's Kennedy yesterday.
The candidate that we've chosen has ties to the area. I also have a great affection for Oakland. My father campaigned there and got tremendous support in 1968 during his presidential campaign.
Multiple outlets have...
Yes, that looks like that's the news. So Robert Kennedy making the announcement today, odds are it's going to be Nicole Shanahan. We'll see if there's some kind of different take on that. But I think that's pretty good news for a lot of us who want to see him poach votes from Joe Biden, which I think he's going to take some votes from Trump, but mostly votes from Biden. Just throwing that out there. That's my personal take on that. By the way, while we're talking about Donald Trump as well, Trump's net worth just spiked. Now an estimated $6.4 billion. That's got to really kill the haters too. Absolutely make them nuts. We'll see how Donald Trump weathers this. I think that case, after it gets appealed, is going to get thrown out. I don't believe we're going to hear anything on that till September. But the Georgia case, the judge in the Georgia case has set a date to hear Trump's appeal to drop that case. Remember, we had the whole Fannie Willis thing going on. But yesterday, Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee ordered a hearing on March 28th. So really, 2 days from now, to talk about Trump's desire to have the entire thing thrown out on a First Amendment basis. Fannie Willis, I'm sorry, Fawny Willis, is saying that her case is still going forward. She's pretty cocky, isn't she?
I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all. I do think that there are efforts to slow down this train, but the train is coming. For the record, I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. You know, I guess my greatest crime is I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something that I find embarrassing in any way.
Well, you should, because you also did some horrible and dumb things while you were having that relationship with that man. And we have a lot of questions about all that money and what you did with that money. We would like to know what the heck is going on there. At least I would. I'd be happy to know that. Donald Trump had some more comments yesterday after the good news, but also referencing all his legal woes as he goes forward.
They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. It's very simple. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. They want you silent. And I am the only one that can save this nation because you know they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and I just happen to be standing in their way, and I will never be moving.
Yeah, that's actually an old quote from Donald Trump, but he could say that every single day. He could make that statement every single day, and it would be accurate. They're coming after him because he's standing in the way of them coming after us. And we need to remember that every day. Looking at some of the other news outside of what happened in Baltimore this morning, what happened in the courts yesterday, I have to tell you, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of hearing about another day, another American woman killed by an illegal, one of the invaders. And that's what happened again yesterday. We had another invader, another illegal in Michigan, charged in the shooting death of a woman. 21-year-old guy here illegally, never should have been here, but for Joe Biden's actions, he's here. And it's pretty darn disgusting. And the weird part of this is, we know that Joe Biden came into office and took like 94 executive actions that opened up our borders and talked about how much he wanted people to surge to the borders. And now we understand that the Biden administration wants us to think that they can't do anything to get the security back. Yesterday, Cringe said this in the press conference.
We've been very clear about executive actions. Will we look at executive actions to see what could work? Sure, we always do that. But here's the thing. What we understand, the bottom line is that we have to move forward with legislative action to actually make a difference here. And that's what we want to see. Executive action won't do it. It won't have the impact.
So executive action that you took had the impact to open the borders. But if you undo them, it won't straighten that out. It seems like it would. That kind of makes sense to me. But what do I know? I'm just paying attention. If you think that this surge of all these people here illegally doesn't matter in your elections, yesterday the New York City Council asked the state Supreme Court to allow illegals to vote in local elections. Gee, what's going to happen there? I wonder. Massachusetts says they're burning through $75 million a month because of all the illegals. They've got them holed up at the airport, at Logan Airport. If you've flown through Boston, you may have noticed the encampments. You also have a former veterans home that's now looked at and going to be taken over to house the illegals. This does not make sense. There's no common sense to why this is allowed to happen other than it's planned. It was the idea all along. Joe Biden wanted this to happen. Joe Biden allowed this to happen. I don't know if he planned it. I don't think he's that smart. But he's the guy, I think, allowed it to happen. It could have been stopped a long time ago. They just don't want to stop it. And now the New York City Council is kind of telling us the truth, the real truth. The other part of this is kind of interesting because when we watch the media, we see the poll numbers talking about Biden. We see how many people think he's just a mess, a disaster. And then we hear them saying the quiet part out loud. James Carville, the guy who basically guided Bill Clinton into the presidency with his campaign advice. James Carville's been speaking some interesting truth lately, and some of it's weird as well. But James Carville talking about the reality behind keeping Biden in office or as the nominee, even though the poll numbers smell so badly.
I don't think people really appreciate how bad Biden's poll numbers are. When you look at them, it's like walking down your grandmother naked. You can't unsee them, no matter how hard you try.
Now, that comment at the end is a little weird. I know he's trying to be James Carville, trying to be colloquial. But he does have some other pretty reasonable advice as he talks more about the Biden problem.
I don't think we thought this thing through. I don't think people realize the hunger and appetite for something different in this country. We might be committing suicide.
You might be. Political suicide. Sure feels that way. Sure feels that way.
We need more than a little bit of a change to end this.
They're thinking about making a big change. Carville ended this little interview with this.
It looks like the party has decided that, okay, we're just going to go through with this. And I've been a Democrat all my life, but I'm beginning to think that the defining trait we have is cowardice. I can't unsee naked grandmother.
He keeps going back to that naked grandmother thing, which is very bizarre. Very bizarre. Very disgusting and bizarre. But he's stuck on that. Another Democrat wacko. Joe Biden over the weekend got together with Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, and they filmed some campaign stuff. And one of the things about it is that Joe Biden just flat out lied. He keeps spreading these old lies that they're slapping onto Donald Trump and hoping they will stick. If you say the lie long enough, maybe it becomes the truth.
Donald Trump is about the past and serving himself. This is the guy who doesn't care about science and reason. Remember, during the pandemic, Donald Trump told us to inject ourselves with bleach. He said there's nothing to worry about if you do that.
Donald Trump never said that. And it's been fact-checked. Even Newsweek magazine fact-checked that claim that Trump was telling people to inject bleach and said it was false. Patently false. Never happened. A big load of Bravo Sierra. A lie. I wish the media would stand up. I wish the press would honor the First Amendment and stand up and have the courage to speak truth to power, but they're not. Hell, I wish Joe Biden would respect the First Amendment. I wish Joe Biden would go back to 1995 when he was Senator Joe Biden and he was speaking in the Senate about the importance, the power, the necessity of the First Amendment. What happened to this guy?
At the heart of the First Amendment lies a very basic notion. That is, the government cannot muzzle a speaker because it dislikes what he or she says, or discriminate between your speech and mine because it agrees with me but disagrees with you.
Amazing, right? Where is that guy? Where's that guy who was paying attention to what the Supreme Court was saying on free speech?
As the Supreme Court has said, and I quote, above all else, the First Amendment means that government has no power to restrict expression because of its message, its ideas, its subject matter, or its content.
Yeah. Amazing, right? That's the actual statement from the Supreme Court. Very simple to understand.
The essence of forbidden censorship is content control.
And therein lies what the administration, what the Democrats have been trying to do is control the content, which effectively shuts down free speech. We're going to get Tracy Beans in here in just a minute and talk about Missouri v. Biden, the case that was being argued in front of the Supreme Court last week. But I just got to give you this one last bit from this Biden moment, the final clip that I pulled from this 1995 moment. Joe Biden talking about the genius of the First Amendment.
Genius of the First Amendment. Here in America, the majority, by and large, does not get to choose what can and cannot be said by the minority or by anyone else for that matter. And the government, more importantly, is constitutionally restrained from deciding what speech is good and what speech is bad.
Constitutionally restrained. Let's hope the Supreme Court remembers that. Again, what happened to that guy? 1995, almost 30 years ago. This case, we're going to hear about it, I hope, soon. I don't know. It might wait till the end of the term. But the person who's been paying the most attention to it is the editor-in-chief at UncoverDC.com, Tracy Beans, remarkable lady, great journalist. And she has one of the coolest podcasts, the Dark to Light podcast. And I love it. I encourage you to find it. Find Tracy. She's on social media, Twitter, X. But, you know, UncoverDC.com, too. And she puts out great content almost every single day, and she's here to talk to us. Hello, my friend.
Hello, darling. The podcast was so much better when you were on it.
Well, stop it. You're just saying that because it's true. And I'm always at your disposal. If I'm available and you need me, I'm there. You know that. I always try to say yes.
I love it. I love it because it's always great.
Well, we have fun. When Tracy and I get together, whether it's just a casual conversation or we're deep diving into a very important issue, we have fun. Because if you get too dismal, life will just be dismal. And we're not here to do that. We're here to solve the problems, but also have fun along the way. And Tracy, can we do that in talking about what the heck is happening with Missouri v. Biden? Is that possible?
I mean, it is only because, look, Mike, I did a lot of interviews about this topic, about this hearing this week. And I want to, you know, I'm going to assume this is the big free speech case everyone's talking about. I've covered it in detail for a long time now. And basically what it's about is that the American government is threatening social media companies to take down disfavored viewpoints off of social media. That's it in a nutshell. There's been discovery, a lot of proof to back it up, thousands of paragraphs, actually. And the government wants to be able to censor you. So they appealed a temporary injunction that was granted in the case to merely stop them from censorship. That's all it did, was stop them from censorship. But they can't have that. So it went in front of the Supreme Court just this past Monday. And I was super bummed about it because I didn't feel like that hearing went as well as it could have gone. You know, we've all heard by now the viral clip of Ketanji Brown Jackson basically saying, well, if kids are throwing themselves out of buildings, then we need the government, daddy government, to come in and save them and make social media companies take these posts down, even though they're against the terms of service already, Mike. Pish posh, that doesn't matter. We need the power of the government cudgel to come in. But Jill Hines is one of the plaintiffs in the case, and she represents Health Freedom Louisiana. And she was on a show this week giving her feedback on the hearing because she was in the room. And she said she was sitting like directly in front of Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. And it's at a couple points in the hearing when the left and some of the more moderates on the court were asking questions. She said he literally kicked back his chair so that he was almost completely reclined, staring up at the ceiling like, oh, my gosh, what the heck are these people doing? So because he is also one of the justices who wrote a dissent when the court stayed the injunction in preparation for this hearing, I have a little bit more confidence knowing the body language than I did the other day. Now, something I said the entire time was that, you know, everyone was like, well, Alito, you know, he said his piece, but the conservative justices, for the most part, were very quiet. And I think the reason for that is because it's very, very clear what this ruling needs to be. And there aren't very many questions to be asked if you actually read the case. And one of the qualms they had when they wrote this dissent against the stay order was that nobody had done that. And they said it was Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch that dissented to the stay. And they all said, if you read this, there's absolutely no way you could put a stay on this in the lead up the American people are going to think that we're tacitly allowing censorship in this modern age. So that's one takeaway. I have a few others.
Well, you know, you brought up your concerns as you were watching it live, and I was watching you watching it live. And I have to say, this was like an angry version of Mystery Science Theater 3000, where you were yelling at the screen. You're not asking. What are you asking? That is a weak question. We don't get it. I was worried for your blood pressure. But the fact that your belief from your friend who's a witness, the other interested party in this case, and watch this being argued, this may be that there's just no reason to slow down this hearing, and let's get to the deciding part, because we're always going to find in the side of the First Amendment, at least we hope.
Well, I mean, if you know, when they wrote that dissent, Mike, they pulled out sections of the discovery and quoted them. And, you know, we've gone over this together several times. Like, it was blatant threats, blatant censorship, blatant. Unbelievable.
Can we say there was collusion, too, between the administration and big tech and the social media platforms, that they were talking daily about what needed to be suppressed?
Yeah, but it's not collusion. And let me explain why. And this is a point that I make all the time, because the discovery in the case does not lend itself towards collusion. It lends itself towards a bunch of scared executives trying to pacify their master. That's what it is. They were pushing back many, many times against this. They didn't do this willingly. They were coerced into doing it and threatened into doing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a case, to be quite honest. And, you know, AG Merle from Louisiana, I had her on my podcast last week. She made a really interesting point. You know, when these things go up to the SCOTUS, you see a lot of friend of the court briefs being filed by people who want some publicity and people who have like a vested interest in an outcome and really want to put a different perspective there. Do you know of all of the people that filed friend of the court briefs in this case who did not file friend of the court briefs?
No.
None of the social media companies filed a friend of the court brief in this case.
Wow.
So if you think about that from the perspective, if you think about that from the perspective of they want to keep their Section 230 protection, they can't keep that if they're doing what they're being accused of doing voluntarily, and they weren't doing it voluntarily. And that's the very thing that they were threatened with over and over again. We'll remove 230 and then, you know, we'll see where you stand then, because they'd all go out of business. They'd be sued into oblivion. So they did not even want to put their toe in here, because they know, like, I'm not going to take the heat off the government. We were getting these threatening emails for years demanding that we do a certain thing or else. And the government created a sprawling multi-billion dollar public-private even partnership with these social media companies for the sole purpose of censoring disfavored speech, not even if it were, let's just pretend we were all lying on social media about ivermectin working, okay? Let's just pretend that. That's a whole
okay.
other topic.
Right. Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered. We're allowed. The government doesn't get to say, well, they're not telling the truth. We need to take this down. That's not how it works in this country.
Well, at least that's how it used to work in this country, that wouldn't be allowed. And I'm going to interject and play a clip of Joe Biden from 1995. When he was a senator, and he was talking about the First Amendment and the protections of the First Amendment, and he was reading from the Supreme Court statements and opining himself. This is how Democrats used to view the First Amendment.
Genius of the First Amendment. Here in America, the majority, by and large, does not get to choose what can and cannot be said by the minority, or by anyone else for that matter. And the government, more importantly, is constitutionally restrained from deciding what speech is good and what speech is bad.
Seems like that's shifted, hasn't it, Tracy Beans?
It's so sad listening to that, because that was, what, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, well, almost 30 years, 1995. So 29 years ago.
I'm old. Jeez.
No, you're not. I'm old enough to remember when that happens.
Well, Anyway, I just listening to that just sends shivers down my spine, just how far we've moved. And, you know, interestingly enough, I don't know if we have a minute or two, something sure. else happened. The FDA and the CDC and the government just settled a lawsuit with a few docs that you might know, Dr. Marek, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, and another gentleman. They have to take down all their social media posts warning people about ivermectin, the dangers of it, saying you're not a horse, all of that. They have to take it all down from social media and refrain from doing that ever again in a settlement that just came down in another case because the CDC and the FDA are not doctors and they can't act as doctors and they can't act as censors either. And they are also involved in Missouri v. Biden. So we are getting some sort of kind of maybe little wins here and there.
Baby steps back towards the First Amendment, which my late father made his mission to have all his kids learn that after the first, everything else is second. If we don't have the First Amendment, we don't have America. And so I'm happy to hear of little victories. Tracy, before I let you go, this hearing that happened last Monday, we're not going to hear the decision until probably June, near the end of the term, are we?
Correct. Yeah.
Well,
it's disappointing.
It is. I wish they would have come out with it immediately, and I was hoping that it would be another like 9-0. But based on what the liberal judges were saying, justices, I'm sorry, someone will get angry and call me, the liberal justices, it's probably going to be a 6-3 or a 5-4 decision, but at least it'll be in the right direction. That's my wager.
I hope
so, too. Tracy Beans is her name. She was on with Rich early this week, and that makes me so happy when two of my smart friends do radio together. And she is my friend, and I appreciate every single moment she gives us to share her brain with us. Follow her on social media, especially on Twitter X, because she does some great live stuff. And then go to uncoverdc.com. Do it every day. And then hang out with me when Tracy is here. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Mike.
And there she goes. Great conversation, as always, with Tracy Beans. There's going to be a big day of news today. There's a lot going on in Baltimore with the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It is going to muck up that city for quite some time. We have a Supreme Court hearing on restricting the abortion pill. Should it or shouldn't it? I think they should just kick it back to the states and let them handle it. That's my opinion, the same way you dealt with the last decision. And there'll be more on Trump as the left is freaking out. The left is losing its mud over the fact that Donald Trump didn't have to pay that unreasonable bond. I still think the $175 million is pretty unreasonable, too. But we'll keep an eye on that. And more to come. Late radio news this week. I'll be doing mornings in Philly and afternoons in D.C. later this week. Pay attention. Good Friday's going to be busy. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.